Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And you can follow Rob and me on social media. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. All right, we got a big hour for you. Foul or fair, the return. A foul or fair. This is the first one of the season.
Yes,
if
it
I'm
is.
Not mistaken.
Season's
yes.
1 week old, Chris. Right?
Right.
Thursday.
And already Aaron Judge is hurt.
Sad, man.
Did he play? Is he playing tonight?
He didn't play. They already lost.
They already
lost this afternoon, but he didn't play.
Wow.
He's
what
not
are they
on the
saying
injured
now?
List, but I don't know. But he's out.
General soreness. Okay. J.R. Gamble joined us for foul or fair at the bottom of the hour. And then it's Broussard's Fab Five. Gonna be an interesting one. All right. Let's go to stick with basketball, but go to the NCAA. And the great Dick Vitale made some comments. I'm gonna let Rob G kind of set the table, and then Rob and I will get into it.
Thanks, Chris. Well, as you guys know, the transfer portal is all the rage this college basketball.
And this started because of COVID.
Yes. Now, and it's not even just this offseason. It's been happening during the season, just before the season, like you mentioned, because of COVID. In total, right now, over 1,200 names in the men's basketball transfer portal, which is on average 3.5 players per program. So it's rampant.
And that means they can transfer and play the
immediately.
Next season.
No sitting out.
Were their transfers during the season?
You can play the following season. Yes,
right,
sorry.
Right.
It just means you can't.
But you used to have to sit out all year.
You used to have to sit out a year. That was a deterrent for
right.
these guys
right.
wanting to transfer. Right.
Right. So most people believe that the freedom is a good thing. One person who does not, however, is ESPN college basketball, Dick Vitale. He's a friend of the show, been on a couple times. Here's what he said on Twitter earlier on Friday. This transferring all over the place is going to destroy our game. The NCAA should think twice before officially making it that players can transfer without sitting out 1 year. The chaos, all caps chaos, going on is sickening. Again, all caps. You should only allow players to transfer without sitting out when a coach leaves, end quote.
Rob, you want to add that first?
You could start if you want. I just don't agree with Dick Vitale, but go ahead, Chris.
One thing I do agree with him on the, if you were to limit transferring let me put it this way. This is craziness. I do agree that, I mean, if you got 3.5 players per team transferring, it's very hard to run a basketball program. I think what he said at the end makes some sense, that you can transfer and play right away if your coach leaves the program. We know that's a big draw for the players to go to the schools they pick. But what I would say is this, college basketball, like, it's making it, when guys transfer like this, Rob, it makes it kind of like the pros. 'Cause it's like every guy, he's a free agent. And they can go wherever they want. And I get why that's not good for college basketball. But what I would say is it's been like the pros for the coaches and the administrators for decades now. And in credit to Dick Vitale, he has said players should be paid. So what I'm saying is let's fix all of it right now. I agree with you. You can't have guys just running all over the place where they want to play. Transferring left and right, but let's fix all of it. Let's get these dudes the money they deserve. Let's get them paid. Let's make it fair. And then if they're getting paid and they have something akin to a contract, then you stay where you're at unless the coach leaves and then you can go elsewhere.
No,
so I say fix it all Don't just harp on this part when there's so much chaos going on.
See, I disagree that people should have the right to leave because maybe the coach promised you something that he didn't deliver on. Maybe things have changed and some guy who they brought to the program became a star in the position you're in and you're not playing. And maybe there's a better opportunity for you. It's about the kids and their education. And the kids who are transferring, Chris, aren't the main parts of any college program. If they're the star players, no, or they're
some
balling,
of them are.
Most
they were
aren't.
Like 40% of the players in the Final Four.
Yeah,
but
obviously they weren't happy with where they were. And I'm just saying, what's the difference if it's about the kids' education and the kids getting an opportunity to play college basketball? Why can't it just be about the kids wanting to be happy? And if you want to transfer schools, thank you. All right, you did everything you were supposed to do here. No hard feelings, and let the kids move on. I wouldn't want to make kids stay somewhere where they don't want to be. If they don't want to be at the program, you should bring in kids who want to be there. So I think Dick Vitale's wrong. I understand he doesn't like it because it's so radical from what we had. But change is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Let the kids find their happiness. If maybe they realize the style doesn't work, the coach, they don't like the coach's demeanor. They don't like, maybe they found out during Black Lives Matter, this coach really doesn't have my best interests at hand, or whatever it is, that they don't feel they're a fit there. It's traumatic to move schools. I don't think everybody's just moving just to be moving. I think people move because things don't feel right or things aren't a good fit. And if they really believe they have an opportunity to go somewhere else, show their talents, be in a place that they're comfortable, I'm not going to knock a kid for doing so. And I don't want to see it limited. Let people have freedom. Let people do what they want to do. As long as they do all the other rules that you have in college basketball, if you don't want to play at North Carolina anymore because Hubert Davis is the coach, you should have a right to say right. Thank you. I'm just saying. After that press conference, there might be a couple guys that might not want to be there.
Nah, you know what? You make a lot of sense. There's no doubt about it. And here's the thing, and I brought up continuity. Continuity's gone in college basketball.
Right. This
isn't the only thing that is hurting college basketball. We've talked about it. I mean, guys now, a lot of the best players are playing in the G League, maybe going overseas, maybe going somewhere to work out for a year before the NBA draft. So there are a lot of things working against college basketball as we once knew it. But I agree with you. That's a good point. Because one of the things that has made college basketball less popular, Rob, than it used to be, is when you and I were coming up, and even when we were adults early on, there was continuity. You knew year to year, oh, Michigan State's got so-and-so, so-and-so, right, and so-and-so coming back. This group's going to be juniors now. They're going to be tough. There's no more of that. The best players are gone after a year. So there's already tremendous turnover. So that makes some sense. You made a good point. I'll give you that. That's hard to argue with, I think. I do still think, though, they should be fixing all of this stuff.
No, I hear your point. I'm just saying, let the kids, as long as if they want to play, you know, Chris, things change. You play college basketball, even on your scale. You had to say, no, I mean, you were Division III.
Even on my scale.
Well, I'm Division III. I'm just saying.
I was a baller, man.
All right, okay, all right. I'm just saying. But, you know, like, did anything change from the time you were there with the coach?
Yeah, we had a second. Our coach that recruited me, left.
That's what I'm saying.
After his sophomore year,
And then did it change? Like, did it change how you were perceived by the new coach and your playing time? Did it go down? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it changed.
Yeah, no, it didn't. But yeah, I hear you. Believe it or not, Rob, I was actually on the committee that helped pick the new coach.
Really?
Yes, we had a few players and some other administrators. We interviewed the coaches, and then we were able to make a strong recommendation. And
did he get the job?
He got it. Yeah. Yeah. He got it. He got it. He was good. He was young, but he was good.
Did he give you a run?
Did he run?
No, give you any run. Did you?
I started. I was a starter. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he was a good coach. But yeah, so I hear you. I mean, that things like that happen. So that's fair. Because coaches, the bottom line is coaches can leave whenever they want. And it is, the players have been stuck. Yep. And you know this, Rob, the thing that draws players typically to a school, I mean, there are a few other factors, but it's the coach. That might be the main thing. Right? If you don't hit it off with the guy,
no,
you're not.
Coach.
That's why Larry Bird left Indiana. He didn't like Bobby Knight.
Exactly. A great player like that, he couldn't do it. He was like, I'm sorry. Larry Bird was supposed to play in Indiana.
Yep.
He couldn't do it. He went to Indiana State.
He left after a couple months, if I'm
not. Yes. He was like, this guy's not for me.
Right.
And you know, Bobby Knight should have been chastised for that he wasn't able to be able to work with one of the greatest players who ever played, coming from the state of Indiana, Chris. Like seriously, that was an indictment of Bobby Knight, for real. That he couldn't work with Larry Bird, who wound up being one of the all-time greats, from Indiana, white guy, all the other stuff that you would want. You know what I mean? Like that's your guy. What do you mean?
No, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You got to make that work. Right. You got to make that work with Larry Bird. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, college basketball, you and I have talked about it before. I mean, we think it's – look, March Madness is always going to be March Madness. I don't care who you could have thrown me and my D3 colleagues out there and people would be into it. Just because it is what it is, the one and done format, the betting that goes on, is darn near a national holiday on that first Thursday and Friday now. It is what it is.
What is it not to like, Chris?
Right.
There's drama. If you lose, you're out. I mean, stop right there. What?
It's just the rest of the season, right? That's the problem. And so this is just one of the issues they've got to deal with, and I think several of them are a lot more weighty and a lot more problematic for college basketball than the transfer portal, because – the continuity that Vitale wants, it's gone. It's gone.
Right.
It ain't there no more, period. So let the kids do their thing and you fix the game. All right. You got something? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, just throw the number out. Go ahead.
All right, 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Is Dick Vitale wrong when he says the transfer portal will ruin college basketball? Your turn to weigh in with the Odd Couple. We will continue the conversation with you next, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Odd Couple on a Funky Flashback Friday, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We're also brought to you by AutoZone. Now, if you're dealing with a dead battery, here's what you do. Simple. Head on over to AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. So next time you're having battery trouble, head on over to AutoZone. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. We threw it out to you, 877-99 on Fox. Do you agree with Dick Vitale that this transfer portal is going to ruin or destroy college basketball?
I want to point out one thing to you. You're always saying I'm always repping Columbia University. I never rep Southern Connecticut because I'm ashamed of it.
Agricultural tech.
You see what shirt I got on today? Can you see that?
I see it.
Proud SCSU Owls.
Did they send you that?
No.
Where'd you get that? They're not just selling that in Target.
What? I bought it online.
Or okay. All right. I see you. But you don't even have a – is it just – what's the name of the school?
Southern Connecticut State University. It just says
all I see is Southern Connecticut. It should say State U on there. Southern Connecticut State.
We have some with that. I have a hoodie that says State University, but this just says Southern Connecticut.
You usually downplaying that though.
No, I don't downplay. I love my school.
I just went to Columbia.
No, I don't. I don't do that. Never. All right, let's start with Telly in D.C. You're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Telly?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Hey, it's a pleasure and an honor, man, to be on your show, man. Thanks for taking my call.
No, thank you, buddy.
Hey, look, listen here. I had sent you a tweet. I wasn't sure whether you was going to get it or not, so I just decided to call in and talk to you about it. Look, I believe a college athlete should only be able to transfer without sitting out after their sophomore year. I mean, you know, by that time you give colleges enough time to prove whether they came through on some of their commitments or not when they was recruiting you, right? It also gives you about that same age, 20, 21, where now at that age, you should be able to make, you know what I mean, decisions for your life. You know, where you get educated from, where you play basketball at. At that age, you should be having free will to make those type of decisions. And it also, look, at the college football allows you to go pro after your junior year, you know. So why shouldn't college basketball allow you a lot of freedom after a certain year as well? And I think it should be after your sophomore year.
Here's the thing. Rob, like I said, Rob brought up some good points. What's the problem with if they transfer as a sophomore?
Right.
I mean, I get – I don't think you just don't want a situation where guys are leaving all the time. It can be tough. You got to fill out a roster. But, you know, if that kid's trying to go pro and he's a second stringer somewhere, I mean, give him a
program,
chance to go
Chris,
somewhere. If they want him, right, if they're going to give him a scholarship.
They're going to give him a scholarship and he's going to be a starter.
Right.
Is it fair? It's not fair to the kid. It's just not. Right. Mark in Sacramento, you're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing this Friday?
Good, man. How are you?
What's going
Pretty
on,
good.
Gentlemen?
There we go.
Hey, real quick. I don't agree with Dick Vitale. I'm on the side of letting them leave, and I'll tell you why. I think what happened was it happened a couple weeks ago. You remember a couple weeks ago, the NCAA case was heard in the Supreme Court. As a matter of fact, they released audio, which they very rarely do. And you can hear actually Sotomayor Roberts talk about this. And I think this issue was part of that brought up. This was all brought up because here we are 2 weeks later after that, and the NCAA is now saying, well, I guess we got to kind of let them leave if they want to, too.
Right.
They got pressured by the Supreme Court on all of this stuff. That, remember, that was 2 weeks ago. That case was heard 2 weeks ago. The likeness case, I think all of this was brought up in the Supreme Court because now they make a decision to let them go. You know the NCAA don't want to do this. They don't. They don't want these kids just go. Nah.
They were pressured. Yep. And, Mark, you know they always had control over the kids. Those days are over. You can already see it. Those days are over.
They're gone. Yeah, they're gone. You guys have a good weekend.
You too.
Yep, you too.
Canella in Denver, you're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio.
What's up, fellas? What's going on? So here's my take, man.
What up?
What's going on? I don't think that the portal's going to mess up anything. I'm with these kids trying to go to the best program that's going to fit their needs. And if one program isn't doing it for them, I'm with it because, you know, they're trying to maximize their talents and obviously trying to get paid out at the end and try to get to the league. But my thing is I think it should be a two-year deal if you decide to take the college basketball route. The G League's not going anywhere. Overseas is not going anywhere. But if you make it a two-year thing, they got to give them a stipend and also give some players the like image and likeness aspects of it. They'll also bring
well,
back a little bit of
all players should have that right.
Hey, hold on to Canella. Don't hang up on him. Don't hang up on him.
Image and likeness. If all players aren't going to benefit from it, but it should be open to all players.
Yeah, it's open to all players, but there's only so many Zion Williamson and right. Kyrie Irving that right. Nike is only going to be right. some of them. But it's open to all. My last point here is the NBA is pretty much built off potential. If you look at the kid here in Denver, Michael Porter Jr., he was a lottery pick, and he only played three games. But there's also so many busts off the one-and-done deal. Like, you have one good season, you go to the NBA, and now you're a bust. So if you do the two-year gig, You know, it gives the NBA teams a little bit more time to reevaluate things.
You're saying they should have to stay 2 years if they go to college.
But they got to give them a stipend because of, you know, the G League route and overseas route. So you got to be competitive.
Well, once they start paying, but Canella, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Chris, when the All-Star game was moved to Denver, who hit me up right away? Canella, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he's he's buying me wings when I get there. That's all. We're having wings when I get to Denver.
Oh, I'm paying now? Oh,
yeah,
man.
You're paying. What do you mean are you paying now?
Do you know him?
No. He just listened to the show. I'm just saying. Okay. All right,
brother,
man. Thank you.
I'll see you soon. Have a good weekend.
Yep. I'm just saying. He was like, we got to have wings.
I'm going to the All-Star game.
Yeah, I changed my tickets and everything. I was going to Atlanta, so now I'm going to go to Denver. Let's go to – hold on. This phone of mine. Let's go to Keith in Peoria, Illinois.
Get off the Motorola. Can you get an iPhone?
Did we lose Keith?
That was my bad, guys.
Okay.
Can you get an iPhone?
I have
already?
An iPhone, Chris. What do you think this is?
Okay,
this
iPhone
11.
3 doesn't work.
Rob G, can you see? This is iPhone 11. You see the big one?
Well,
here's the problem. Rob got the $1,000 phone on the $9 a month plan. That's the problem.
Right.
What's wrong with Metro PCS?
All right, it is the Odd Couple. Fowler Fair is next with J.R. Gamble. But first, hey.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's the Odd Couple with ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
That's right, Fowler Fair is back, baby, for the 2021 Major League Baseball season. And we got to do it right. And another way to do that is with none other than J.R. Gamble from MLBBro.com, ShadowLeague.com. J.R., how are you feeling this evening?
What's up, fellas? Back again with the Odd Couple, Rob the Grouch and Chris. I was going to call you Chris Shuttlesworth, but then I did see your Midnight Madness tape, so your name is Chris Cross.
Chris Cross, hey, very nice.
I was crossing cats over, right? Before it was popular.
Hey, and let me say this before we get started, Rob G. Man, JR has done a great job as managing editor first week of MLBBro.com. I'm for real. He's done a great
kiss of
job.
Death, fellas.
It's not the kiss of death. He's doing great. The site looks wonderful. All right.
Good job, brother.
Well, let me say this. He does an even better job on the Inside the Parker podcast that drops every Thursday.
Very nice plug.
If we're all plugging things, let me plug something else, too. But you guys know how this segment works. I got three baseball stories. If the guys like the topic, you'll hear the fair sound.
It's a fair ball.
If they don't like, get the foul sound.
That is a foul ball.
It's a very unique segment. It sounds just like Trolling and Rolling. But
not
that's
just
not,
a
you
little
know.
Bit.
But let's get started. JR, you're the big star of this segment, so you get the first crack at question number one.
Yes, sir.
Yankee slugger Aaron Judge is hurt again. Yeah. Again. Oh, he's missed their most recent game with what they're calling general soreness. Now, I don't know if you know this, but since 2018, he's missed almost 40% of their games, which is making extension talks with the club very, very tricky. Now, he'll be entering the free agency after the 2022 season. And with that in mind, here's the question. Is it foul or fair to say that the Yankees should let Aaron Judge test free agency rather than try to extend him early?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
Asked me this question a year ago, even after he already proved to be somewhat injury prone, and I'd say that's a no-brainer. You lock a talent like that up early. But you heard the stats, fellas. He's missed 40% of the game. And you know that the best ability is availability. But hold on. No one's questioning Judge's talent, and I'm certainly not suggesting that they find him what offers in free agency, because there will be plenty. But without a thorough physical examination, and I'm talking about, I need a specialist, Chris, to let me know why he keeps getting these injuries and how we're going to prevent them in the future. If I can't get that, maybe we sign him right before free agency after he's played more than a few games.
You know what? I'm going to have to agree and say fair.
It's a fair ball.
And you know what? Just look at what happened with Tatis this year. Didn't he just sign a $300 million contract, right? And he got a shoulder injury. I mean, there's injuries. And Tatis hadn't missed any games. He was playing every day. He gets injured. And you're going to give $300 million to Judge, who's missed 40% of the games. You just can't do it. He's going to have to prove to you through 1 year of playing, and I know he still has one more year after this, of being completely healthy before I'm ready to sign any kind of long-term deal. When he plays, Chris, he's a beast, but he doesn't play enough. He hit two home runs back-to-back games before this injury. I don't even – off of what? I didn't even see anything happen.
You knew he was going to get hurt.
I'm going to make it a clean sweep. It's fair.
It's a fair ball.
My thing is this, too. Look, you said, Rob G, he's a free agent after 2022.
Yep.
All right, I'm not dealing with it right now. Let's see if you play. Can you play 90% of this season? And then can you play 90% of next season? Or God forbid, I'd love to see you play 100% of next season. I got time, and I'm not locking him up right now. Look, Rob, and you brought up Tatis. I can live with Tatis.
No.
That's an injury that can happen. But
I'm just saying injuries do happen.
Right. I can live with that.
Right.
But I'm bothered when it's always these little strange injuries. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That it's not an ACL.
Or he crashed into a wall. Yeah. Or he got spiked, at second base. I didn't see anything. And then they say you got soreness. I was just shocked by that.
It's baffling.
All right, well, it's a clean sweep. Move on, though, to question number two. Trevor Bauer is in the news again. We talked about it yesterday. This time, after several of his baseballs were confiscated as part of a new Major League Baseball policy aimed at cracking down on foreign substances. Funny thing, though, is that Bauer has been against this policy since it came out. He said last week on a video, I don't think they actually care about changing the rules to maintain a fair and competitive landscape. What they really want is to change the rules so hitters can hit better. JR, is it foul or fair to say Major League Baseball's new rule less about being fair and more about helping the hitters?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
And I'm very confused by what Bauer said, because I thought baseball was trying to help the pitchers now and stop the game from being a hit or miss homer fest. I thought the reliance on the home run and the offense was getting out of hand. So they deadened the ball a bit. They put in a couple of rules to try to temper the offense. Tell me if I'm wrong. Now, baseball wants to help the pitchers again, Trev? Not buying it. Baseball warned that it was cracking down on these illegal substances. And from that, we can assume that they will be investigating guys whose names may have come up in the past as being suspicious. There's a lot of showmanship in baseball and psychological warfare. And Bauer has a big mouth. Maybe somebody just wants to shut him up for a minute.
This is fair.
It's a fair ball.
What?
JR, you said tell you if you're wrong. You're wrong! It ain't about the home run. It's about putting balls in play. It's about some singles. It's about some doubles. Heck, it's about some ground outs and some, some fly outs. I mean, they're not getting enough action. Only action, it's an overstatement, but most of the action is a home run. Outside of that, you're not getting the ball in play enough because there's too many strikeouts. Now, maybe I'm sure launch angle and dudes swinging for the fences has something to do with it, too. But they're concerned about these spin rates and stuff. I do think they want more balls in play so that you're not just sitting there waiting for the dinger. So I'm with Bauer on this one.
I'm going to say foul ball.
That is a foul ball.
It doesn't make sense because they've deadened the ball to stop the home run. So they're not trying to help hitters. They've actually helped pitchers by doing that. So those fly balls that were sneaking over the fence aren't going to go over the fence. You're going to have to crack it like Ohtani the other night. Did you see that blast? I mean, that's the kind of thing should be a home run, not the ones that creep over. So I don't see them as helping. And we know after the whole Astro scandal and some other pitchers and the spin rate, they've been watching this for a while, and they decided enough is enough, that they don't want people to cheat because they got egg on their face twice with the Astros and then a little bit more with the Red Sox.
It is Fowler Fair, the Odd Couple, with our man J.R. Gamble. Last question, Rob, you brought up the Astros. Baseball fans have been letting the Astros have it all season. Well, about a week or so. They've been booing them, throwing trash cans, making these really funny signs, all because of that cheating scandal from a few years back. Well, the Astro fans returned the favor this week. They were booing the A's players hard, likely because Mike Fears, who blew the whistle on the cheating scandal, is now with the A's. But here's the question, JR. Is it foul or fair of Astro fans to boo other teams like that, given that their club is the one that cheated?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
The Astros shouldn't be booing any team beyond the normal levels to which fans boo opposing players. However, if Mike the Mouse, the snitch, the Tekashi 6'9 of the MLB, wow, of all people, is on that team, then it's only right, boo, 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 that the Astros fans have a chance to boo. The Judas, the traitor who ratted them out and stained wow them in baseball lore forever, creating a domino effect which basically led to the team breaking up. Springer left. Manager AJ Hinch is gone. Then you take it and you boo louder and harder than you do all season because you only get one shot. Fellas, you ever seen the movie where the family of the victim leaps across the benches in the courtroom and tries to get a lick on the perpetrator before he goes to the safe confines of the federal penitentiary? That's what happened here. The Astros took their shot, and they didn't miss. They also whipped up on the A's. Call it poetic justice.
Man, what are you talking about? What they did, it's foul.
That
the
is
Astro,
a foul ball.
The Astro
foul,
fans,
that's what I said,
and,
to be booing?
And it's what?
Fair.
No, it's not fair.
You
it's
want
not fair
you think
for,
it's
no,
all right for them to boo?
No, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair for the Astro fans to boo other teams.
Okay.
That's what the question is. It's foul. My point is, take your medicine. You got busted. You got caught. Thanks to Mike Fryers for blowing the whistle on that. That wasn't your standard looking behind the catcher to see the signs behind his glove. This was espionage. This was
wow
cheating at the fullest scale, and they deserve to get booed. They got off the hook last year because there were no fans in the ballpark. Take your medicine.
It's yeah fair.
It's
what?
A fair ball.
You guys are wrong. The fans can do what they want as long as it's within the realm of, you know, civility. I mean, they're not hurting players. They can
true
boo as much as they want. That's their team. You say it all the time, Rob. Fan is short for fanatic. They're supposed to turn on the Astros? No. Now, if you want to say the Astros players shouldn't go out there and stick out their chest and you know, act like they didn't do anything wrong, okay, that's fine. But the fans? No, the fans can do whatever they want to the other team as far as booing and things like that. That's what fans do. The league is at fault here. They should have chastised the players by taking away that championship, and then this would all be settled. I
no
can't
way
believe you guys were wrong. Baseball guys, y'all were wrong on the last 2 points.
Wow.
And that goodness is foul or fair. Good job, gentlemen.
Put me on MLB, bro. Oh,
yeah.
I'll be back next week. Kick your butt
right
and take a name.
All right, JR Gamble, great stuff, brother. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank
all
you
right, Broussard's Fab Five is next. Gonna be interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right. I remember this jam, one of my favorites, backstroking the Fat Back Band on a Funky Flashback Friday. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. It's time for Broussard's Fabulous Five.
Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Fab Five. Five.
All right. In response to Bonzi Wells yesterday saying that Chris Paul was on the Mount Rushmore of point guards, that's only 4 point guards. My Mount Rushmore, I think it's most people's Mount Rushmore of point guards. Magic Johnson, Steph Curry, Oscar Robertson, Isaiah Thomas. There's no more room for anybody else. Who you taking off? So I'm going to give you the 5 guys, 5 point guards battling for that 5th spot. Here we go.
Number 5.
Russell Westbrook. Look, I get it. I'm not saying I'd want to start my team with him. I'd rather start my team with a Steve Nash. But how am I going to deny 4 seasons of averaging a triple-double? He's averaging a triple-double this year. This is going to be his 4th year of averaging a triple-double. Oh, and he's been to the NBA Finals. He's been to several conference finals. He's won at a high level, higher level than Nash did. And he's averaged a triple-double. I'd rather start my team with Nash, but I can't deny Westbrook's production.
Number 4.
Walt Clyde Frazier. Forget about the funny suits and ties and shirts and all that. Brother could ball. He was one of the greatest defensive point guards we've ever seen. He won 2 championships. And then the series where they beat Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor, when Willis Reed limped out of the tunnel with a bad ankle and hit a couple jumpers, scored 4 points, Walt Frazier had 36 points, 19 assists, and 7 rebounds in that game. He was crazy in that game. Walt Frazier, very underrated. Brother could ball.
Number 3.
John Stockton. Obviously an all-time great. No way you're leaving him off this list. The all-time leader in the NBA in assists and steals. Was a crafty defender. A lot of guys said dirty defender. Whatever. It worked. Gary Payton, one of the all-time great point guards himself, said that John Stockton was the toughest player he ever faced as a point guard. Stockton, number 3.
Number 2.
Jason Kidd. J-Kidd, look, somewhat underrated, I think. He's 2nd all-time in assists, 2nd all-time in steals, led the Nets to 2 straight NBA Finals. And get this, he went to the Nets. He was traded for Stephon Marbury, who was a great point guard himself for a few years. And the Nets won 26 games. And then Kidd gets there the very next year, and they win 52, and he leads them to the Finals. That's a turnaround, folks. J-Kidd.
Number 1.
Chris Paul, of course, himself. Some call him the point god. He ain't on Mount Rushmore, but he's darn close. He's probably number 5 all-time point guards. He's had a few foibles. I mean, if I'm going to put a Jason Kidd ahead of Chris Paul, it's because Chris has had some playoff struggles. He has. Melted down against Oklahoma City when he was playing for the Clippers. Was with the Clippers 6 years with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. They never even got past the 2nd round. All right, they were equipped. He couldn't get them over the hump. They dropped a 3-1 lead to Houston. All right, and then with Houston, I get it. The first year they were there, they had Golden State down 3-2. He got hurt. Can't blame him for getting injured. But the next year, Kevin Durant gets hurt, and Harden and Chris cannot take down Steph and Klay. So he's had his playoff struggles. A ring would certainly help him, but it is what it is. Those are my 5. I get it. I mentioned Nash. I know where to put him. Gary Payton's got an argument too. So that's Bruce Art's Fabulous 5. All right, we got 1 hour left of the Odd Couple. It's going to be a great one, so you know what to do. Keep it locked on Fox Sports Radio.